Hello, this is Daniel Poppy, pastor at Emmaus Road Church in Fort Collins, Colorado. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope this message will help you grow in your walk with Christ. If you'd like to support this ministry, you can do so by visiting theroadfc.org and click on the giving link.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to each of you. This is a special day here at Emmaus, not only because it's Christ the King Sunday, a special day on the Christian calendar, but because it's also the day in which we prepare our worship space for Advent to come next Sunday. But before we do that, a few short words to kind of help us frame Christ the King Sunday and what it is that we're worshiping today. You know, this isn't just a thing to guide us into Advent or a kind of a transitionary phase, but it is a shift. It's an intentional shift for us in nature of what we do here on Sundays. You see, the last few weeks we've been discussing all that we've been entrusted with as followers of Christ, entrusted with the kingdom and the work of Christ in the kingdom. And you know, honestly, we've been doing this work of what we've been entrusted with, what we do, how we work and behave in the world through Christ. We've been doing this for quite a few months since kind of the end of spring at the end of Pentecost. Because as we focus on the things that faith instructs us to do, the way we operate and interact in the world, we you know, practice that out. We learn to do those things. But this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, kind of makes a shift for us. It makes a shift away from the doing, so to speak, into the being. Who are we as a people of God? And how does that affect us? You know, this is a common pattern in celebrating the Christian calendar, which holds this tension in our faith of doing versus being. Right? You know, is faith something that we practice, something that we develop, something that we train, something that we do? Or is faith something that we're given, something that we receive, something held, something that we are, something to be? I think the answer is yes, it is that. It's both. You know, faith is both doing and being. But today, along with the Christian calendar, we redirect our attention back to the being of our faith. Because in God's wisdom, through our church fathers and mothers, it is clear that we need to exercise both our doing and our being in faith. The invitation of Christ the King Sunday, of Advent, of Christmastide, of Lent, of Easter, of Pentecost, is to enter into the story of Jesus. Through adoration, through longing, through receiving, and through entering in through worship. So today, we focus on simply worshiping Christ the King. But don't worry, of course, you know, we can't separate doing and from being. And so there will be a healthy scattering of how we worship Christ the King along as we go. Let us pray. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that we may know the hope to which we have been called, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our scripture today comes from Psalm 95. We don't always preach from the Psalms, so I'm looking forward to this. But this is the perfect scripture for us today, Psalm 95, 1 through 7. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing praises. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. To this, the sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people that he watches over, the flock under his care. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, in addition to the be that we're going to be focusing on during this service and the paradox of doing and being in our faith, we also live in a particular culture that shapes us quite a bit, of course. When our family lived in the Philippines, Halloween and Thanksgiving were not celebrated. So they just weren't a big deal. And so as soon as you got into September, in the Philippines, they call them the Ber months, any of the months that end in B-E-R. That meant Christmas was coming. And so you'd be in the mall or the grocery store on September 1st and you'd hear Christmas music. I mean, it was all in. So much anticipation, so much to look forward to. You know, we think we have it bad when, you know, you start hearing songs before Thanksgiving and you're like, I don't know about that. You know, even so, for us though, the Thanksgiving turkey has hardly begun to cool when all of a sudden we're, you know, shifting, right? We're shifting into, you know, the idea of Christmas coming, but we're also shifting into the things that our culture pushes on us, Black Friday sales and, you know, all that shopping and saving, right? Add to all of this the calls for our time and attention this time of year. It's a hectic time of year. Decorations, family gatherings, trips, holiday parties, elaborate meals, gifts to buy and to wrap. Extra worship services, charity to give before the year end, acquiring that hard-to-find toy for a child, right? You know, in this fray of time, this is what we're called into, this attention of Christ the King Sunday. In this day that centers around the crucified and risen Christ who reigns in glory for all eternity, that is the message of the gospel. The Alpha and the Omega, these words that like are hard for us to kind of wrap our minds around, but the beginning and the end, essentially, he is everything. The one to whom Christians owe ultimate allegiance. You know, today, through our psalm, we're reminded that God alone deserves our praise. There is no king to rival him, no Lord above him. Not even our holiday celebrations or our gift giving. Christ alone is our hope and our trust. Of course, in their own way, these traditions, these holidays, don't get me wrong, I'm not a Scrooge here. These traditions, these holidays that we do, they reflect the love and the joy that we have in Christ as we love one another, as we spend time together. Even the gifts that we give are a symbol of the gifts given to Christ by the Magi, the wise who came to worship him. But I think we need to be intentional, even in the holidays, to not allow the King of Kings to be dethroned and to have any number of other things kind of take his place in our priorities. And so today, it's a reminder that we worship. We worship to realign our hearts, to recondition our souls. You know, praise is due not because of it's something that we get reward from, although we do gain reward from. But praise is due because he is our God. Praise is due because despite our best thinking or efforts, to the contrary, the whole world is in God's hands, the depths of the earth and the heights of the mountains. So come, our passage calls, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God and we are his people. Praise is due because we are God's own people. Praise is due because he altogether loves us and desires to be in relationship with us. Praise is due because God is our maker, not only our maker, but the maker of all creation and the redeemer of the world. The God who created us breathes life into us and sustains us all. And he alone is worthy of praise. So the theme for the day is praise and allegiance to the Lord and our King, who is above all things and yet closer than our truest friend. But how do we appropriately praise? How do we appropriately worship? You know, we can't talk about the being and our faith without talking about the doing. Of course, even our psalm has instructions on how we actually do worship. The psalmist offers us not just one, but three recommendations, three ways that we worship God. Verse 1, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." So apparently, one of the steps is singing. Number 2, "Let us come into the presence with thanksgiving." Verse 2 tells us to share gratitude. Verse 6, "Oh, come, let us worship," and to bow down, to bow down. So the third way from verse 6 is submission. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord." You know, there's all kinds of science research about the health benefits of singing, how it makes you feel good, right? Of course, it releases endorphins and serotonin and dopamine, all the happy chemicals in our body that boosts our mood and makes us feel good about yourself. But singing a song that also touches your heart, that speaks your language, that puts into words your feelings, you know, that does something even more. It elevates the experience. It medicates the soul. Our life group meets here on Sunday evenings, and somehow our activity for last Sunday evening devolved, or maybe culminated, depending on how you look at it, into lowering the lights in here and cranking the sound system, and we had an epic karaoke night. I mean, we turned on the microphones, we had it on the screens. It was amazing. You know, you should have seen the kids and the adults singing at the top of their lungs. We started with Christmas songs, but of course, as you do, we ended up on Taylor Swift, right? It was amazing. And have you seen these photos, like maybe on social media, these short videos, these reels on people taking their kids to Taylor Swift concerts or being at Taylor Swift concerts with one another? Of course, it was Taylor Swift a lot this summer because she had a tour, but you know, you watch these fans singing and there's no self-consciousness there. I mean, it's just pure, utter emotion and exuberance. Oh man. The point is, singing works, especially when it's directed to God. There's nothing wrong with celebrating at a Taylor Swift concert. But when we sing these songs to our Lord and King, we should feel the same. It can do the same. Many of you might feel like singing just isn't for you, like you can't carry a tune or you don't want to distract others. I get it. I get it. But how's this? We'll make an agreement. We'll just turn the sound up in here week to week so that you're just awash with everything else going on. We could do it that way. You just blend into to the collective praise. But that's the beauty of worship through song, that we blend in with the collective praise of saints before us, of the angels, of all creation. Open and exuberant praise to Christ the King prepares the church and prepares you for Advent. The season of waiting, the 4 weeks in the calendar, the Christian calendar, when we await for Emmanuel, when all wait expectantly for Christ to come to reign in full glory. Let us come into the presence with thanksgiving. This week, we've all had a very intimate relationship with gratitude and Thanksgiving celebrations. This is what the Thanksgiving holiday is all about, a day that we set aside to reflect and to appreciate all that we have been recipients of. Sure, the day feels dominated by a meal, you know, turkey and gravy and your favorite pie, but hopefully your heart had moments of pure gratefulness of the life that you have, the family that you share that with, the friends. No, I get it. Some of you were probably working. Maybe some of you didn't get to celebrate on Thursday, but in one way or another, this week calls us to gratitude. You know, and even in the Thanksgiving holiday, the likelihood that some of us carry some tension, some of us carry some struggle there, is very likely. But as we focus on gratitude, we don't try to ignore the fact that our life has struggle, that our life induces pain from time to time. But it invites us, even in the midst of those difficulties, to focus on the things that we know to be true. A magical thing happens when we practice gratitude, even before we feel grateful, right? Before long, we find the distractions of pain and grief slowly fading into the background as we practice gratitude. It dusts off the true foundations of what we know to be true in our life. How did the psalmist do it? How did the psalmist practice gratitude? Simply by naming what he knew to be true of God, whether they felt it at first or not. How do we practice gratitude today? By naming all that we know that we are grateful for, especially through God, through prayer. You know, perhaps you're a journaler. Perhaps writing things down helps you. Perhaps just thinking about these things, saying it, sharing it verbally with others. You know, whatever it is, if we do this often, if we do this well and consistently, we worship God through recognizing all that he's done for us. And sometimes our doing helps the heart follow, and then we begin to feel as we do it. And finally, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Perhaps one of the most countercultural of these three offerings is the fact that the people of God today, we find ourselves very kind of adverse to submission, submission to anything, to anyone else, to something outside of ourselves. Again, our culture is not very helpful here because every moment of our lives is being inundated with messages of be true to yourself and be all that you can be and let no outside forces shape you. You know, actually, these statements, there's nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, but it becomes so easy for these to become the priorities in our life, for these to take that central seat rather than allowing them to become a way of reaching our goal of worshiping God in full submission. For many of us, the only thing we bow down to is the altar of self. For others, you know, we're happy to give our allegiance first to any number of things competing for that top spot before God. But let us remember today, the subject of our worship is the God of heaven and earth, as known through Jesus Christ, our King. In our psalm, God is depicted in a whole range of metaphors that prove to be the most central formulations, the central foundation of who God is. One, God is said to be a rock. God is the source of our salvation, the great King above all other gods, the creator of heaven and earth, and the shepherd of the people of his pasture. Yes and amen. Well, today we begin a season, a liturgical shift, where the focus of our gathering centers on God who saves us, the God who loves us, the God who comes to be among us, the God who cares for us, and the God who guides us. And sure, we have practices, you know, we might have preferences between doing and being. Some of us might gravitate towards just tell me what to do and I'm gonna do it. Some of us don't wanna be told what to do, they just wanna be, right? You know, whether you lean one way or the other. But today and in the coming weeks to come, we're gonna be balancing both. And I think this is an important shift for us in the Christian calendar, as we sing and worship and praise our King. May we celebrate together with joyful feasts, with joyful gatherings, recognizing the kingdom of God, the kingdom to come. May we make joyful noise for no purpose other than to praise Christ our King. And may we humbly bow, giving our loyalty to the one who transcends and yet is alone worthy of all our praise. Today, we come and worship Christ the King.